Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good evening, people of the internet. You thought we'd gone. We were fairly sure we'd gone, but we've been pulled back from the brink, primarily because I happened to bump into Roddy in a park on Sunday, and we decided we maybe should have another go at this.
We bumped into each other in daylight, by the way. This was not
your usual mugging spree, I mean.
Let's call it that.
So we're back. We're back with a vengeance. There's stuff to talk about, primarily. So we're here. We have two-thirds of our normal team. So myself. We have Roddy. Roddy, how are you this evening?
I'm very well. After our workout in the park.
Indeed.
I'm feeling spent, really. I thought we were going to tell the listeners that we'd all died since last time and then come back mysteriously in something not entirely different from the plot of the French television drama The Returned.
Well, I have to say that's a little bit too highbrow for me, so I have no idea what you're referring to.
Neither do I.
All right, okay, good.
But I'm fine, thanks for asking.
Good. The other one that we have managed to drag back from the brink is Mr. Street Machine himself, Mr. Robert Falk. How are you this evening?
I am quite fine, because as per usual, when it's podcasting evening, I have a huge amount of coffee.
Good. Did you manage to catch the keynote last night?
That's kind of nice. How are you, otherwise, Paul?
Very good. Wasn't really an answer to my question, but that's good. Did you catch the keynote last night?
I had to catch up on it afterwards because I was a little bit busy at the time. But yeah, I managed to dig through the whole 2 hours almost of it. That was very long.
I wasn't expecting that at all. Wasn't expecting it at all. And a new man to the show, however, he appears more times in the British Tech Network than all the other presenters combined. Carl Madden, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, sir. Thanks for having me on. Actually, I've never been in this room before in British Tech Towers. This is
indeed
unusual.
Yes, it's one of the darker rooms.
I tried to put in some new lights, but no, they keep breaking all the time. What's wrong? It's weird.
It's the rarely opened closet of the iOS show. So good. Anyway, we have tons to talk about tonight. Of course, there was a keynote last night. The entire cast of the board of Apple appeared, or the management team of Apple, I should say, appeared on stage in one way or another. We have lots and lots to talk about. So without further ado, we will just push on right on into it. So I guess the first thing to talk about is the fact that iOS 7 was previewed last night. A flatter and slicker iOS than we've seen before. One of the biggest, in fact, the biggest change to iOS since its arrival somewhat 6 years ago. What's our thoughts on it? Do we like it? Do we hate it? Is it good?
The first thing that springs to mind is that when people are saying it's flatter, it's not flatter at all.
No. Nope.
It's deeper.
Well, you say tomato, I say tomato, but
You say flatter, I say deeper.
Yeah.
Because while they have simplified a lot of the icons and simplified the look, actually the sort of parallax home screen you have now has your home screen icons floating at one level and your wallpaper floating behind it.
Yep.
And that's sort of facilitated by the gyroscope in the phone, so that when you move your phone around, it gives the illusion of your home screen actually going into your phone. Mm-hmm. And then with either your control center, which we'll come to in a moment, or your notifications sliding over with the appearance of actually being on top of your home screen icon. Mm-hmm. So it's deep. It's not flat at all.
Yeah, very true.
And it makes a lot more sense than what it was like previously when it just opened and was like linen all over the place. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what iOS has been screaming for, is a home screen springboard where you're staring into a yawning abyss of your wallpaper.
On the icons, what's your thoughts on them? Because I would have kind of thought that, being that they had the opportunity to completely refresh everything, and it may be that they change between now and release, but there isn't too much consistency over the icons. When you kind of take passbook versus the camera versus a newsstand and maybe the phone app, that there's quite a bit of difference between them. Some of them are bezeled, some of them have got a gradient, some of them are very, very flat. Some of them are simple graphics, some of them are older graphics. It's interesting.
Rushed?
Mm. Yeah, pretty much.
Do you think that's
the one that really gets me?
Sorry, Carl.
Anyone else? Really... Oh.
Sorry.
What a time!
Let's have a raffle and see who goes first.
But do you remember that rumor before the event? They were saying it's like black and white, very flat.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, well, it totally wasn't black and white. It was highly colourful.
Yes.
And it gives it that sort of fresh look, I think, having lots of colour like this. I know that a lot of people, some people were moaning about the mixture of the icons. They don't look like well together. But I tell you what, the only thing, this phone has definitely made me think, if I get another phone, I'm definitely getting a white phone next, because I don't think this is going to look too good on a black one for some reason.
Yeah, I get that feeling. I think you're absolutely right there.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
It's a lot more, it's fresh and funky, as people I hate say all the time.
Well,
fresh and funky.
My first thought, and I have to admit it's grown on me now, but my first thought when you were watching the keynote and they did the whole video thing where Johnny Ive made his appearance, the first thing that struck me was it sort of looks like VTech had designed the home screen. You know, it had that kind of bright, vibrant, kiddie-coloured icons, you know, like a VTech tablet.
It's exactly what all the people that used to call earlier versions of OS X a Fisher-Price operating system.
Mm-hmm.
They would love this. Really is very Fisher-Price, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I can imagine Ian shouting just now saying that they still haven't fixed the left turn off the bridge on the Maps app.
I actually think they have.
There's the road now.
Well,
it's no longer a bridge, it's a road.
Did they not fix it and it's regressed?
But is it not? The fact of the matter is, it is actually a bridge there. They have actually changed the icon, so it's not visibly a bridge, so it looks like a crossroads. But the fact of the matter is, on an actual map, in real life, IRL, it is a bridge.
It's inviting actual death. People death.
It's an Apple map. It's not meant to be accurate.
See what you did there. That's good.
But generally, I quite like it. I like I hate the Safari icon. However, I do like a lot of the features of Safari.
Yeah, I wasn't too hot on the Safari one. And you know what? Well, two things of interest. Actually, one thing of interest and then one thing I'm just going to rant on about for a bit. The first thing being that some of the tiles are properly live, so that while we had the date tiles been... I'm going to have to check. The date tile is live in iOS, isn't it? I've heard conflicting reports, but I think the weather one is as well, and a couple of the other ones are now live.
I don't think the weather one is.
Well, I've heard conflicting reports. I've seen one saying it is and one saying it isn't, so I'm not entirely sure about that. But the thing that bothers me slightly, and I'm going slightly off topic here, into the world of the Mac, so the Mac show will come and stomp on me. But when I saw iOS 7 and I saw the dreadfully named OS 10, I can't remember its name because it's so stupid, Mavericks.
Yeah.
Mavericks.
Yep.
I sort of really hope that while I'm not expecting them to make OS 10 really iOS-like, if they're going to start redoing icons that are almost classic Apple icons now, some of these icons, you know, the calendar icon, Safari, Mail, things like that, have been going around for ages. And now that they're just sort of arbitrarily changing them, I thought they'd maybe up that in OS 10 as well. It seems strange to bring these two out at the same time, making very sweeping changes to very popular and classic icons and not doing it across the board. Just a thought.
I don't think he had time to do OS as well.
Yeah.
He wasn't really, Scott Forstall had much to do with the Mac, as far as I was aware. It's mainly like mobile he had lots to do with.
Well, maybe they should make time.
Well, true. They obviously. I was quite shocked by how many digs they took at, you know, his legacy, so to speak.
Yeah. And he's a bit funny looking too, isn't he? And he's crap at golf. And his wife's a minger.
I was a bit disappointed in that, I have to say. There was quite a few digs at Scott Forstall, but they also did a lot of digs at the competition as well. They had a dig.
More than usual.
Pretty much nobody was left unscathed. You know, they had a dig at Windows 8 at least twice. They had a dig at BlackBerry. They had a dig at Android. Everybody was, you know, there was even like the WebOS guys who were sort of like eating a sandwich in the corner, not thinking that they were safe. They were having, well, they didn't really, but you assume that they would have if they had the opportunity. But I thought that was interesting.
They were busy. They were busy playing with their prees and eating their sandwiches and doing what they usually do. No, it's okay.
But maybe they're just so pleased with themselves, they're getting a bit cocky. A few little jibes.
That may be.
They all jive each other.
Now look at multitasking.
Sorry, Carl.
They all jive each other now. It's just the way it is at the moment. They all jive each other. I mean, look at Samsung adverts. Oh, they're basically saying iPhones for old folks.
Yeah, I know. But I like to think that... I like to think that Apple's a little bit above that. And maybe it's my Apple fanboyness, but I like that idea, and it's quite clearly not the case anymore.
Steve Jobs would never have slagged anyone off. There's heavy sarcasm there, Paul.
All right, sorry.
I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter last night. And a couple of blogs I was reading this morning that made a big deal about the fact that the provider logo, so in the States like AT&T or in the UK, O2 or Vodafone and things like that, had been dropped from the top left-hand corner. And that's visible in all in the advert. It shows that I've completely been taken off there because somebody's not put their volume down in their Skype. So in the top left-hand corner, the provider icon was apparently gone. However, since then, I have seen some reports that actually that is not the case. Provider logo is still in the top left-hand corner. But if you go into like apple.com/iOS/iOS 7, the phone doesn't actually show any provider logo in the corner. Now, that may be because they don't want to show one particular one. But apparently that's not the case at all. Yeah. So, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine they'd want to show one particular favour over one particular company up on the stage there, where the whole world's watching them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
That's personally, I thought that would be that.
Yeah. But I really liked when you go into the weather app, when you kind of scroll through cities and actually shows the kind of like an animation of that weather system in the background. So when you went kind of like the North Pole, it showed it snowing and... I think he showed a mountainous region in the States or something like that, and he showed thunder and lightning. That was quite cool. I can't wait to have a play with that one.
Makes sense.
It does. I think it'd be quite cool. Anything else around? Oh, actually, we should maybe kind of cover off kind of folders and things like that. Basically, we have the same folders as you're used to. They look slightly differently, but you've got pages inside the folders, which I think it's been sorely lacking for quite some time. I quite like that.
I'm starting to feel a bit constricted by folders. They're useful, but my springboard, my home screen's just a mess these days.
I'd
look forward to seeing that.
I like the idea of the spotlight search being more in the pages. So in like page to page, you can pull down and get the spotlight search as well, or no matter what page you're on. So it's not a case of scrolling along the left. It's there on every page.
Do you know what would be really cool, Paul, is if you wanted to go through all the features one by one, you could go through them using the show notes that I carefully prepared earlier.
That's true.
I'm
sorry,
just saying.
Instead of you just meandering off on my own.
Willy-nilly, you just suit yourself.
Okay, sorry. So the next thing that Roddy's carefully handcrafted, whittled by his own...
This is curated, Paul. Curated.
I like whittled. So Roddy's very own whittled show notes tell us that we're going to talk about Control Center next. Roddy, you have the floor.
I didn't say I wanted to talk about it. I was just promoting discussion. Control Center is nice because Control Center is a thing that I saw on the WWDC keynote yesterday, which was interesting because it was about iOS and this show is about iOS. The Control Center is a thing that comes up from the bottom of the screen and shows you information and can also manipulate things within settings that would usually be buried within lots and lots of layers of menus and things. I like Control Center because it is new, and I also like Tim Cook. He is clever. I wrote that bit earlier. I'm just reading it out.
And Roddy will be performing that in front of his primary six classroom tomorrow morning. I quite like
I think that Control Center is going to be very handy. About time we had access to all these hidden like things you had to delve down to in the menus. I know that's a first world problem. I always think we always moan about these hardships. Oh, I've got to go down two levels.
You two think, well, levels of menus.
I know. At least I can have food whenever I want it, clean water whenever I want it. But yeah, and we make it such a hardship. But no, I mean, this is obviously a lot more convenient and just will put you back in control of all these things like Bluetooth, airplane mode, Wi-Fi and
do not disturb.
Mm-hmm. Am I imagining it, or does the control center have a flashlight icon in
it
there?
It does as well, yep. Yeah.
So it does.
You can turn the flashlight on.
That's actually really useful.
It is.
I like that.
Especially considering that you can access
that apps.
For a moment now.
Yeah, you can access that
Think
from
about
your
it
home
now.
Stream. What?
That's kind of cool. There has been a little bit of debate about their choices for what goes in the control center, though, and they seem to think that some of them are a little bit arbitrary. They just seem to have chucked a few things in there that they thought might be useful. Is it customizable, or are you just kind of stuck with what they've decided?
I've seen no evidence to suggest it's customizable, and to be fair, that probably wouldn't be very Apple-y for allow you to have your own choice on things that you do. But so in the bottom part of it, so you've got flashlight, there is access to a calculator, access to your alarms, and what's the fourth thing? I should have this in front
camera.
Of me. Camera, yes. Indeed.
Camera.
Mm-hmm. See, do you know what you really want in that is stuff like Shazam? Where you
yes.
go, oh, what's that music? I need Shazam is the most important app to have somewhere really handy for when you need to tag music.
Yeah.
Find out what that annoying song is when you're in a shop and it's not in control center.
But
you can put a flashlight on and wander around Boots the Chemist with a flashlight on, but you can't tag the music that's playing.
But not to be kind of breaking your rules again, Roddy, and jumping ahead in the show notes, but you can now launch apps using Siri.
Can you not do that? All right, okay. That's good. I like that's good.
We'll come back to that.
You could do that before.
You can launch apps using Siri.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'd never tried, to be fair, but I sort of blithely assumed you could.
I think you could launch Apple apps using Siri.
Okay.
Launch third-party apps using Siri.
And interestingly, and since we've jumped ahead already, a lot of the things that you have in Control Center you can do through Siri now. Siri's broader. So you can... Did we discuss last time whether or not you could turn Bluetooth off with Siri?
We did, and I think we came to the conclusion that you couldn't, because it couldn't understand our Scottish accents anyway.
But now you can.
I'm struggling. Assuming it... I have to say, myself and Roddy don't really have really thick Scottish accents. You know.
No, I know.
The final thing on Control Center before we go is AirDrop. Just before we shuffle too far on Siri. So AirDrop's only available on the iPhone 5 and presumably the 5S/6/Squirrel when it comes out in September. You've also got AirPlay in there as well. Now, AirPlay's a really handy feature that has basically always been in the double tap swipe right menu. But AirDrop's interesting. They didn't really go into too much detail about AirDrop. I'm assuming that this will be a way to just kind of dump arbitrary files from like your photographs and things like that. I mean, they did show photographs, but I'm assuming you're going to be able to use other things. You might be able to send like PDFs or something like that. I don't really know how that's going to work.
They stated anything that has got the share option in. So even developers can put it in if they so wish.
Okay.
And as long as you're on the same sort of close by on the same network, you can just, and they've got AirDrop open as well, you can just send them stuff.
So presumably they have to be on the same Wi-Fi network. It's not a case of...
It does have to be the same Wi-Fi one. Could you imagine if it wasn't, though, if it was just someone in the area, if it was using peer-to-peer Wi-Fi, your Wi-Fi to their Wi-Fi, anyone on the train, you could send them a photo of something maybe taken moments earlier in the bathroom.
I think I read around on the Apple site, and I think it actually does something like that. It does peer-to-peer Wi-Fi.
Really? Does it? So it doesn't have to
trains,
be...
I think it remembers who... I think it remembers who you've done before, so to speak. But new people, you have to okay.
Well, that's no fun, is it?
Yeah, well, you can
put it into like the promiscuous mode, if you will, I think.
It would be just like the good old days of, I say good old days of Two Thing, when Bluetooth was new and fancy and exciting on phones.
Ooh.
And everyone was sending all this crap to everyone else. It was brilliant. It was absolute carnage.
Yes. iTunes Radio, moving on down Roddy's finally procured list.
It's a beautiful list.
This really interests me. So I was speaking to some guys at work today. Just to explain. So iTunes Radio is essentially Pandora, for want of a better phrase. It's not quite a Spotify competitor, but essentially what it does is you say, I want to hear classic rock music, and it will just randomly choose old bands old rock bands, classic rock bands, and just play them as like a radio station. And you can then say, oh, I like that band, or oh, I don't like that band. And it will try and learn your taste as it goes, and not show it, allow you to listen to bands that are sort of your negative list and more bands that are in your positive list. And you can also pin that down to, from, as I've already mentioned, genre. You can also say, I want to listen to a particular artist, or I want to listen to, I think, a decade, I think, was in there as well. So there's lots of different ways you could kind of cut and slice your music and then produce this radio station off of it.
It's very Last FM as well, then, isn't
Last
it?
Last FM, yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So... and speaking to a few guys at work today, they were kind of going, oh, I don't know what you use that for, I don't know what you use that for, I would use Spotify. But I think they were missing the point, because it really isn't targeting at Spotify. I mean, I've got to say, if I was Spotify, I would be worried, because, okay, you know, the shots went over their bow this time, but it's hitting them direct in the sternum next time, I would say. Or is that...
One thing would be interesting is to see what their model is for reimbursing artists. So I know that... some artists have said that Spotify are really crap for, you know, actually passing on a reasonable amount of royalties and that kind of thing. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of deal they've got going on here.
Well, I think,
because I care about the artists.
Well, I think Cheryl Cole has enough money.
The thing is, Spotify has said they pay like a decent amount, but the studios are not passing that money on to the artists.
Oh, those studios.
Which like rings true to me.
Yeah, that's probably likely.
But you say Spotify, like Spotify should be kind of scared as it is, because the Google Play service that's coming, the music one, that is going to do exactly what Spotify does.
Is it really? I didn't realize it, because I thought the Google Play one was almost exactly the same as what Apple are doing. Or is it going to do, you're allowed to make your own playlists and stuff?
The Google Play one, you're going to be allowed to make your own playlist and listen to whatever you want on their servers.
Right,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I was
but this is like, this is like more like Last FM. But everyone's saying, oh, I don't really think this will work. I don't really think iRadio will be a hit. But they're forgetting, this is just going to be installed. It's going to be there.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in the US, it's going to be there.
Yeah.
So it'll just be a button that people will try out and go, wow, look at this. I can type in, I don't know, Iron Maiden or something, and it'll just play Iron Maiden tracks or similar to that, or country music or whatever they want to play over there. Mm-hmm. I think this will be once people realize it's there, they won't have to go through that hassle of downloading an additional app and subscribing. It's just, for want of a better word, it just works, so to speak.
Yeah.
Of course, it'll be ad supported, which is, now is this going to be visual ads, or will it be ads in, you know, as in, here is an advert for something you'd like in the middle of, in between your songs. Do we know?
I've not seen any word either way. However, I really hope they're better than the Spotify ads, because Spotify ads are clearly written by 4-year-olds.
that would probably be more entertaining if they there's
clearly nobody who has any idea about marketing on the Spotify marketing team for making their ads up. They are horrendous. No ad has ever...
They're so annoying.
You know, the only ad that Spotify has ever put on their free service that has ever made me want to buy it was the one telling me I could get 30 days of the premium service, because then that got rid of the ads. And so I got the free premium service for 30 days, and then I just didn't bother changing my credit card details, and I'm still paying for it now. Which, I suppose, that kind of worked. But point is...
It works.
But the other thing is, if you are an iTunes Match subscriber, you actually get the service for free, which is quite nice. Or as in, you get the ads removed and you still get it for free.
Mm. Do you know, one thing that might lead us to the answer on whether it's visual or audio ads is that one thing I linked to in the show notes states that adverts will be on the lock screen. So if you're listening to iTunes Radio, you'll be able to see the ad on the lock screen. That suggests visual ads.
It does.
It would make sense for them to use iAd as well, wouldn't it?
Well, nobody else is.
Lol. We could be
probably
both.
Hook it into that backbone system and just expand on what they've already been doing with iAd since whenever they started doing it.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So we round back to Siri now. So apparently Siri gets new voices, genders, and broader capabilities. Previously, if you wanted a bloke, you had to choose Siri in the UK. If you wanted a lady, you had to choose Siri in America. And then there was a couple of other ones for, I think, an Australian one and a French one and so on.
Are these extra genders?
Yeah, so they basically, you now have the choice of a male or a female. A male or a female voice in each country, as far as I can understand.
That's more boring than what I was imagining. But, Hey, I was tweaking. Or Australian.
No, you could.
I make a lot of friends better too.
So I switched between all of them when I first got Siri way back and played with all the different voices. It was fun.
They're the same as some of the OS X ones, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes.
Because you can install them in OS X and then make them say rude things by using the say commands in terminal and record it on YouTube and pass it off as Siri, and it's really funny and not at all immature. Do you know what? If you looked at, and I know this is a slight tangent, but I'm looking on the iOS 7 page on apple.com, and Siri's there, and Siri's now just, well, it's not very much to look at, but not that it was before, but I'm just looking at some of the control buttons on iOS 7, and they're mental. Some of the, if you look at the Safari ones, now the share button is completely different.
Yeah.
I don't actually know what a lot of these buttons mean anymore, which is maybe slightly worrying. They're not particularly intuitive.
Well, they are when you look at them. So the download icon is the exact same.
I'm looking at them and they're not.
Well, no, if you look at them in the whole kind of suite, if you like, so you will see that button and kind of go, not sure what that is. But then later when you see the download icon, it's the exact same icon, but the arrow's pointing down the way. So basically that is, the square is your phone and the arrow is the direction that the data is going. So
you have to throw your phone up in the air to dare things.
No,
that's what it says. That's your phone, and there's an up arrow.
It's the direction.
Mind you, the last share icon was a square of an arrow coming out of it.
It was,
but it was a leaping, exciting, kinetic arrow, and this is just a pointy nonsense. It's just my personal view.
Okay, fine. I'm not even going to try and argue.
They're rubbish. There you go. That is your opinion. Everyone's okay. Opinion now. You all have to agree with me.
So, Siri, it gets a massive overhaul. One of the cool things about this is, and I have to admit, it stopped me in my tracks, is adding voice and iOS in the car. This has kind of caused me a bit of a conundrum, because I was in the midst of a new car purchase. And I have completely canned that on the chance that I might get a car that has iOS integrated next year. And I would be kicking myself if I got a new car and then I had to sell it next year again. So this looks really cool. So basically, is everybody still there? The audio's kind of went a wee bit awry. Are we okay?
I was just kind of listening to you with my head in my hands.
Why?
A look of glazed disinterest. You just carry on, Paul.
So basically what this is it's going to give you a sort of an iOS interface on your in-car screen and allow you to access all of your iOS stuff from in-car. So it's something that I think we spoke about in the last show, was the idea that everything that you need in your car, as in your in-car media dashboard type thing, so voice calling, your music, your navigation, access to messaging, a clock, all that kind of thing, is all in iOS, and you know it and you understand it and you can save stuff to it. Why don't they just integrate that more fully into a car? And lo and behold, that's what they've done. Apparently in 2014, which presumably will be US only, a range of car manufacturers, of which only a few of these logos I recognise, like Honda, Mercedes, Nissan, Ferrari, Dodge, don't know that one, Kia, Hyundai, Volvo, don't know that one, Opel, or in the UK,
you don't
Vauxhall.
Know Volvo.
No, I know Volvo. The one that's a circle with a V in there, with a upside down V in the middle. I don't know what that one is.
A Starfleet.
is that not Acura? Is that not?
Don't know.
I think it might be
Jaguar and Vauxhall Opel. And
Jaguar in the States.
Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Weirdos.
Yeah, I really like
this. Quite a few car companies then.
I'm surprised to see Ferrari on that list.
Yeah, so was I, actually.
But then again, Eddie Q is on the board of Ferrari, so...
Oh, is he really?
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Fascinating fact.
I wonder if you get a discount because you're supplying your own entertainment system, so to speak.
It's all just a kickback, is it? Do you know what slightly worried me is that when I was looking at the live feed of the keynote yesterday, I saw the first screenshot on Ars Technica of iOS in car, and it had a screen, and it all looked very iOS-y, and I was like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, it had something like five hardware buttons underneath.
And there was one that was actually a home button with a picture of a little house and an on-off button. And I just thought, this is too buttony. It seems strange that you're taking something that is so simple and has one button on the handheld device that you can use with slightly more, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, you can use with a little bit more concentration, where something that you're going to be have less time to devote to it when you're driving has more buttons to have to decide what to do with. It just seems a bit odd.
But think about it from this point of view. You have more, if you're trying to use a touchscreen device while you're driving and keeping your eyes on the road and your concentration on the road, and you maybe just want to push reach over to do one action, a button is far
better.
That's
a good point, okay.
Because you're just, you know, you're just hitting, you can almost touch the top of the button and then push down.
Why does it have a home, a little house icon instead of just having the usual home button?
I don't know.
Well, why don't they just try and get some consistency? For goodness sake, it's not like Apple are new to this.
Well, I don't think from anything that they've said that they've got anything to do with the actual way that the hardware is done around the thing. All they're basically probably doing is saying, this is the rough dimensions that your screen has to be, and we will then pump visual to that screen. You kind of do your thing out with that.
That worked out really well when they licensed Mac OS to third-party hardware manufacturers, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't think this is the same.
That went great.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm willing to bet small amounts of your money on this, Paul.
Also, Siri is apparently going to Bing for its search results, which is interesting.
It's
well, in all fairness, Bing isn't that bad, and not anymore at least. You get pretty good accuracy in most things you search on.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to admit, I've never really used Bing, is it good? Do you guys that use it? Do you guys prefer Google?
I switch around myself.
You what?
Yeah. You know how I rejected Google wholesale and was going with DuckDuckGo for a while?
Yes.
Which was good, but I actually did start going back to Google search, albeit not signed in. Because it does. I don't think anything I've used really comes back with results as good as Google these days. Even Bing's admirable, but Google, I think it's just got so much indexing behind it now that it always comes up with the goods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indefinitely. I still use Google for absolutely everything.
Do you think this is like... their decision is just purely based. They don't want to give Google any more money from people searching for their ads. Is that the only reason they've decided to go this way?
I think so. I think it's just the whole kind of, it's just a snub of Google. That's my feeling of it.
But then it's interesting that it's a bit passive aggressive that they've taken it off for Siri and they've moved that over to Bing. But do we know what the default Safari search is? Is it still Google in iOS 7?
That's a good question.
It would seem odd that I know that it's behind the scenes in Siri, but it would seem odd to make that change and not just change it in Safari. Because people, you know, you still have the Google option, much as you have the Bing option now in preferences. So it's a bit like a kind of half a something. For somebody who's on a podcast where you're meant to be able to communicate effectively to your listeners through talking, I'm not very articulate today, so I apologise. I can only put it down to Ian's absence. I just nickel his words and pass them off as my own.
So the other thing that's come along is activation lock. So this is possibly doesn't deserve a huge amount of coverage, but basically what this is if you lose your phone, you can... I couldn't quite tell when I was reading about this whether this is by default enabled or whether you have to make the choice to enable it. But basically, even if a thief meanders off with your phone and tries to wipe it back to factory settings... it can't get all the way back without your iTunes username and password.
Ace. That's well, really good.
It is and it isn't. Okay, I'm going to throw a little hole in this activation lock thing, and shoot me down if you like, but my password for iTunes is actually reasonably simple. For the simple reason...
I thought you were about to tell us what it was.
No. For the simple reason that I have to... I'm going to have to change it now. For the simple reason that I type it in so often when I'm buying apps and all that kind of nonsense. So, I mean, it involves lower, uppercase and numbers, but it's not ridiculously complex. So I can't help but feel that somebody could probably get into my phone eventually with a little bit of a brute force. So what I'd actually prefer is that they gave me the option to make a highly complex password for unlocking my device in a restore situation. A different password.
Sort of like they do with File Vault and things, that they, you know, get you to set a master password, and this should be, you know, absolutely nails.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they make you print out a copy of it and things like that.
Well, yeah, or you put it in a one password, or, and this is meandering in Mac world, so we're not going to dwell on this too long, but basically Mac's version of 1Password. Pop it in there.
Mm-hmm.
But
don't you think, the fact that they've actually done this at all, no matter what the password is, the casual thief, as far as I'm aware, who like wants to nick the phone, wipe it, and then sell it to the next guy down the pub, he's not really, once he knows, once they learn that they can't do that no more, it's not as easy as it used to be, that's going to like inhibit them from ever bothering to steal one. I mean, there'll still always be people who steal the stuff because they'll just flog it off and say, oh yeah, mate, that's working. And it's not, it's run out of battery at the moment, so you can't try it.
Yeah.
But I think that the demand will start to go down once it like filters out that this is now another requirement for you to actually use someone else's phone. It's not just a case of unlocking it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Dash it, we won't find our fortune in crime anymore, Raffles. Let's go and get normal jobs.
No, I think that is a fair point. That it's perhaps more of a deterrent than anything else. It's not going to get rid of it completely, because I'm reasonably positive that sooner or later somebody will find a way to fix this. And
you just dial an emergency number on the lock screen.
I think I would feel a little bit more secure in this new feature if they gave me the ability to create a hard as nails, rock solid password that I had to put in the event of a restore. But maybe that's just me.
You could always, if you're grabbing somebody's phone off them in the street, take that extra minute to beat them senseless so they confess their password to you, and then simply activate their phone.
We are not condoning violence.
I'm not condoning violent acts, sir, but if you were a violent criminal, you might just want to consider that. Just saying.
Yes.
Take a class online in torture. You know, it might come in handy. You never know.
We might need to run this one by the British Tech Network lawyer again.
we have to Could run be. Every show by the British Tech Network lawyer. This is no different. The new camera and photo features. So the camera, obviously, the camera app has had an upgrade in line with all the other iOS 7 goodies, which basically involves you being able to access all 4 different camera features, or one new one. So you've got standard camera, video camera, panoramic camera, and finally a square camera mode.
Also known as Instagram mode.
Yes, Instagram mode, and also filters a la Instagram has been added as well to the camera.
Mm.
Instead of panorama camera, why don't they call it a panoramara? I'm just saying.
I think I know what happened there. Observe. Johnny Ive sat in his big white room and just looked at the person who suggested it. And that was the end
just
of it.
Looked. That's a square photos.
Well, what I would really like is somebody for, and I don't even know if this has happened, and I don't think it will do, but it's a pet peeve of mine. I would like that the only way you can use your video camera on an iPhone is in a landscape mode. It so annoys me when folk put up portrait iOS recorded videos in Facebook, and you're sitting there going, just turn it to the left. It's so easy. It's in your hand already. You just turn your wrist. You just do it. Just slightly to the left. That's all it takes. Oh, it bugs me. Is that just me?
What if you're videoing something that's taller than it is wide?
step back a couple of paces. It's easy.
What if it's not something you can step back from?
Reevaluate the situation. Think about your next step very carefully.
I do like the new way they're laying out the photos, though. I got to say,
that's a good point.
They're all in.
Mm-hmm.
They're all bunched up in. They're all bunched up into sort of like areas and times that they were shot, and you can keep zooming out. You can go from like individual ones to area ones to whole year ones, and then you just use your thumb to like scroll through and find the picture you want.
Yeah,
and also sharing
so much of the manual work. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mind you, he's probably using Apple Maps for the location thing, so God knows where he's going to end up putting.
Yes. No, I really did like that. my photo stream, I was doing a backup of my iPhone this morning, and so I backed up all my photos separately, and I had 1,300 photos on my iPhone, and they were just in one massive big screen. There was photographs in there from well over a year ago, I think it's just because I never really back them up because they're all in PhotoStream and I have a Dropbox sync going. But I think having that ability to group them might make me do something with them, because then I can say, right, that was that day we went to the Safari Park last June, for example. And I could take that lump of photos and put it somewhere and then put it in one of those like shared streams or something like that. I think that's really nice. I like what they've done there. I approve. So
that makes sense once more.
I also think shared streams now, other people can add their photos to your stream. I think it used to just be a one-way affair
before. Yeah.
So you could share one of an event and you're all putting in your photos of the event and they're all together?
Yep.
I like that. That's cool. Mm-hmm. That's collaborative. That's nice.
It is. Aww. I tried to do that at my wedding. I created an email address for everybody to email the photos to, because I figured that everybody will have like their digital cameras or their iPhones and things like that, and they'll be taking photos of the wedding. And I'd really like them just to forward all those photographs to me so I can have photographs that everybody had. I went to all the effort of setting up an email address, and I put like little cards on the table asking people to email their photos and everything like that. Not one person did that. Not one.
Don't invite them to your next one.
Is that the number of people that attended, Paul?
Well, you didn't bother, frankly. So
I've got a bit of I've got taste.
No, there was a number of people there, and not one person emailed me a photo to that address. Oh, I thought it was a really good idea. But
these people said they were your friends as well. Well, they were just there for the booze.
They were Kirsty's friends, and the ones that said they were my friends were there for the booze.
Next time, steal their iPhones, ask them for the password and username before you do it.
So that's shared streams. I think that's going to be awesome. We are.
Have you just looking on the subject of photos? And again, I've been looking at the Apple.com iOS 7 page. Have you seen the messages screenshot they've got? It's got a photograph of this lady on a bike. Goes, remember Tasha? She lived in the floor above us in freshman year. The reply is, wow, how is she? And what I guess the reply should be, oh, that's handy. I see you've taken a photograph of her chest for me. I'm not quite sure I'm liking that scenario they've got here.
Yeah, I also, he's either about to get run over or they're on a tandem. I'm not sure which.
I'm not sure I want to know.
Or he's towing it.
That could be the most gruesome marketing stuff I've seen for a long time.
Well, this Paul Zemanek is a creepy guy. That's all I've got to say. Weirdo.
He's in a flatbed truck and he's tied her bike onto the back of it and they're taking comedy shots as they race 60 mile an hour up the freeway and she's just on her bike.
Crazy guys.
Just while we're talking about that screenshot, it shows delivered. But it should actually say read, because the person who received it has clearly read it.
Unless they didn't have read receipt switched on, which is a user-definable option.
Yeah, but I hate that. Really bugs me.
Can I also point out another flaw in this flipping debacle that they call iOS 7? In the screenshot to the left of the weather application, it says London is sunny at 62 degrees. Doesn't clarify whether that's centigrade or Fahrenheit. One of these, if it was 62 degrees, you would be dead. So I just, you know, this should tell you whether it's just a nice warm day or if you're in mortal danger, your blood boiling.
Well, it'll be amazed and dead, I think.
it's turned out nice.
Anyway. So the final couple of things on iOS 6 before we push on into the competition. And just to clarify, as we do in every show, we don't have a competition. You can't win anything. We're just discussing the competition to Apple. Is it FaceTime audio? This is quite a cool thing. I was really excited about this until I was chatting to my dad tonight and explaining it to him. And I was kind of trying to find myself explaining a use case for when you would use FaceTime audio and not a regular phone call. And I have to admit, I came up blank. I couldn't think of one. So in what scenario is this a good thing?
When you don't want to have credits come off your call thing, whatever you call it, I mean, the only reason I don't use FaceTime video is because I always feel it's intrusive to suddenly say to someone, I want a video chat with you because I don't know what you're doing, but I want a video chat with you now.
And they don't always... Off.
Yes, and they don't always feel... They're not always in a situation where they can video chat, but most people are in a situation where they can audio chat.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. What if you're on your computer but and you're looking at Google Maps and you can FaceTime them from your computer, but they're in the car and they can do Bluetooth? Yeah. Maybe they can use their hands-free. So you can talk to them and you can talk to them. You can talk them through the directions that you're doing on the new Maps application that's on OS X Mavericks. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't want video, would you?
That's true.
FaceTime audio is only over Wi-Fi at the moment, I think, though.
No.
Because the companies are not going to give that one up.
No.
The telecoms are not going to give that one up easily.
Ooh, they cold.
But the but FaceTime generally, like you could do a video FaceTime over 3G at the moment. So surely it's just the same as Skype where you just switch off the camera, isn't it? So is that just going to kill the call if you're in 3G?
Oh. I'm not sure, actually. I haven't really found a news story. I just listened to what he briefly said.
Yeah, that's true.
Half listening to what Paul's saying.
But no, I can't imagine telcos would love, you could make calls over the Wi-Fi because they're not taking your minutes off you anymore.
When they fought so hard just to keep regular FaceTime off their networks.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. They lost that, though. So.
Oh, yeah. Big time, finally. Yeah. Yeah. Bastards.
FaceTime's heavily used in and around my family, primarily because of my daughter uses it regularly to communicate with her grandparents and her uncle and things like that. And equally, I have a niece that's about 6 months old, and my niece is constantly on FaceTime with my granny and with us and things like that. So FaceTime is hugely used in our house. I suppose that's maybe why I was... And I have a contract that's unlimited talk. So I suppose that's maybe why I was missing the use case. But I could totally see, if you want a pay-as-you-go or a limited, in some way, talk minutes, then yeah, okay, that's a fair point.
Oh, yeah, if you're constricted by poverty. Of course, I hadn't thought of that.
would you have an iPhone, then?
Victorian-style paupers in their rags, staggering through cholera-infested puddles, but with their shiny white iPhone 5.
You know,
you've been in my house, haven't you?
You weren't supposed to notice that.
And finally, just on new features, there's tons more that we could talk about, but I'm sure the Mac show will cover it in further detail towards the end of the week. But the blocking of FaceTime and messages. So this is the scenario where you have an abusive ex of some kind or just somebody that you don't want to talk to anymore. I can imagine Roddy's probably going to be using this quite heavily for the former. Possibly the latter as well, to be fair. But So you can block people from being able to contact you. Again, there's no huge amount of details on this yet, so I don't know whether a message is going to go back to say this person's blocked you, haha, you must be nasty. But it's good from the point of view of the user, I guess.
It would be great if in the, we were talking about, it says either delivered or read when you sent a message. If you sent it, it just said denied. You put a little personalised message, sod off.
yes, indeed. So, is there anything else you guys want to discuss about iOS 7 before we close off this section of the show?
You always have to qualify it with about iOS. I've got loads of things I want to talk about. Not relevant.
It's good to limit yourself, but yeah. I actually had one thing. It started bothering me already when I saw the keynote, and that Game Center makes no sense now, if you ask me.
In what way?
Because it made lots of sense before.
No, not that it did, but at least thematically, it made sense to have the green felt in the poker table or whatever the heck it is. But now they removed all of that, and it's just some white, sterile something. It doesn't really make me think about games in any way, shape, or form.
I only saw it at a kind of cursory glance. You have to tell me what it looks like. I don't even see it on the site here.
Yeah, so it's the bubbles.
I saw it mainly with Craig was demoing it, I think, and he just briefly showed it, or if it wasn't the video with Johnny Ive caught in the white room again. It was just a bland something, nothing. There was nothing there. It's just a long list of things. It just didn't seem.
Oh, okay.
It didn't seem like Game Center at all. It just like, oh no, we yank all the green felt out, and yeah, that'll be good. Hey,
oh, I found it now. Oh yeah. Mm.
Yeah. But that's what happens when they get rid of the skeuomorphism. I mean, it all goes back to some sort of flat design. And the fact, well, I never use Game Center anyway. I mean, I the only one I use it on is the racing game, Wheel Racing 3. And that's only like from when it says, oh, your mate's beating you at this lap. Do you want to go and try again? And that's the only time I've really noticed it being used.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you actually go into the app, it kind of makes sense the way it's designed, like currently in iOS 6 and previously. Just that it feels a bit too sterile and not at all game related now. I mean,
that icon is terrible, isn't it? It's just some buttons.
It's absolutely horrible. There's no association with gaming in any way there. It's like four different colored marbles. I don't know.
Makes me want Skittles, though.
Oh, Skittles.
Mm. Oh, God, don't give him Skittles on top of all that coffee. He's scaring me again.
Dear. Right, okay. Anyway, Google has bought Waze. Now, I am positive that Mr. Madden will have something to say about this.
Absolutely. I mean, this is an app I use every single day, and virtually when it came from the moment it came out. Because they set it up as. And so all the streets had these little dots, and you saw, as you drove along them, you just gobbled up dots like Pac-Man, and you got a score for that. And as time went by and more people joined, the maps got better and better and better. Until now, I leave my house in the morning and go on my routes and stuff like this, and I can see all the traffic hotspots in London. And believe me, in London there's loads. Mm-hmm. And this thing just routes me around every single one because it's us giving it the information. And Google's Maps is fantastic. It's, you know, especially the update they've done recently. But one thing it can't do, it does tell you there's traffic on your route, but it doesn't tell you how to get around it. So now if they implement what Waze does into their map system, then they could have everything, and that will really blow Apple away. Plus, I think at the moment, Waze is giving some information to Apple, so I bet they cut that information off.
Yeah, good point. Of course, the problem with this is that if everyone started using Waze and it started leading them away from the traffic, then the traffic would end up somewhere else because it would be where you directed everyone instead.
Well, but it sort of it polices itself. So once it spots somewhere else is slowing down, back again.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Okay. I might try out this Waze. Sounds exciting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There have to be enough people in your area to make it useful, but when you turn it on, it says like there's 127 people near you using it and stuff like that. We're in London anyway.
Roddy, I've tried to use it in Scotland before, and the last time I fired it up, I was in Glasgow thinking it was going to have a lot of folk, and there were three people in a 40-mile radius that were using it, so it was a little bit disappointing. It might have changed by now because it was about a year ago I last tried it. But it seems like a really, really cool idea, but as you say, Carl, it's really kind of difficult unless you've got a lot of folk around you being able to do it. So, 1.3 billion. That's a pretty big number. 1.3 billion. Only 100 folk.
What they paid?
Yeah, 1.3 billion. Only 100 folk work at Waze. That is a huge payoff.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook were meant to go, were trying to buy them for a billion as well, but they wanted them to move to Silicon Valley, and they're in Israel. They said, we don't want any of that. And so it looks like Google have just given everything they want. They've got all the money, they can stay where they are, and apparently they are going to stay independent as well.
Yeah. For at least a couple of years anyway, till Google change their mind.
So
onwards into the gusset of troubleness, or the troublesome gusset, as other people like to call it. So we have one here from a gentleman named Lee Moody. Thank you very much for contacting us. Hi chaps, I really enjoy your show. Great banter. Quick question. I have two iPads, a personal one and one for work. I have separate accounts on each. Is there a way of combining them? I moved jobs and had to give the iPad back and lost work email addresses, I would then lose any purchases on the work iPad. Any advice would be appreciated. Lee Moody. So, gents, what's our thoughts for Lee here? Is it possible to combine or not?
I think he's in for some bad news.
Yes, yes.
No, it's because they're based on Apple IDs. You can't transfer apps between two different IDs at the moment anyway. Mm-hmm. Because obviously it's lots of security things. Otherwise, everyone could just be sharing their apps all over the place, I should imagine.
Yeah.
Can he change the email address that he uses for that Apple ID, though? So not combining the two, but preserving. Because obviously if any password changes, emails, whatever, are going to his work email address, that's no use if he leaves that company. But could he at least just change that email address that he uses to another personal one? So he would still have two accounts, but he would have them both on his own email addresses.
That is a really good suggestion.
Well, I thought that's why I always have good suggestions.
I certainly,
high level of quality.
I certainly know Carl's quite correct there. You can't combine them. I've actually emailed Apple about that in the past, about combining two Apple accounts, and they wouldn't let me. For the reasons you gave, Roddy. But that's a good idea. If he was to perhaps set up a second email address, yes. So, Lee, if you have a shot of that, drop us a line. Let us know if that worked. If not, we'll have a little dig about the gusset and see if we can come up with another nugget for you.
When we say to have a go at that, no warranties or guarantees are implied. I just like that out. If that explodes your work's iPad, then, you know, tough. Boo-hoo.
I'm disturbed by the fact there's nuggets in the gusset. That's what I understand.
There's worse things than that in the trouble gusset.
So
trouble truffles.
Lee, let us know how you get on with that, please. And thank you very much for your email. Much appreciated. So this podcast and every other one on the British Tech Network is sponsored by the amazing people at UK2. They provide all the bandwidth for all of the awesome shows on the network. They do it without a grumble or a moan. In fact, they do it with great pleasure. They are absolutely superb, and we would love if you could support them too. So if you could head on over to the sponsors link on the BritishTechNetwork.com, make sure you come through the BritishTechNetwork.com to get to UK2, just so that they know that we sent you, and we get kudos for the traffic. So if you head on over to the sponsors link, you'll see lots and lots of voucher codes for awesome stuff like VPN, VPSs, domain names, all sorts of great stuff. You get 20% off domain names. I have not come across any other voucher code or company that gives you 20% off domain names. Absolutely superb. All your favourite ones, .coms, .co.uk's and so on and so forth, all there for your domain registering pleasure. So if you head on over, British Tech Network, sponsors link, UK2, fill your boots, fill anything that you can with all the awesome stuff over at UK2. Pop in your voucher codes, get your money off and be a happy, happy camper. We love UK2 at British Tech, and we hope that you will support them too. So thank you very much. Finally this evening.
Paul, they shouldn't fill anything. Well, they shouldn't fill their lungs with the discounts. They drown in value.
It's irresponsible
for you to say just fill anything with all these discounts. But you're a danger to yourself and others, Paul. Bloody hell. Sorry, folks. He's almost a psychopath.
UK2, use them. the British... I decided to go use them as opposed to fill anything else. I wasn't going to get abuse any further. picks. Robert, what is your pick this evening?
This time I have an app known as Repost. I think I got that pronunciation right. It is one of the best clients for app.net that I have found for the iPhone currently. It's a very gesture-heavy little thing, but it feels like a much more fluid experience than many of the other apps I've tried. And I kind of wish there was something similar or even an equivalent for Twitter, because I just want to use the app so much more than I do anything else, you know, even related, like web app, whatever. There's sadly not a version for the iPad, but the iPhone version is absolutely brilliant. You know, it's free. You don't have any excuse not to get it right now. Just go get Repost for ADN. Brilliant.
Superb. I use the Tweetbot app for app.net.
Netbot. Yeah.
That's it, Netbot. Yeah, I was trying to remember what it's called now.
Yeah, I use that as well. I find it really good. The Repost looks really nice, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Netbot is really good on the iPad in comparison, I think.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Grant, Carl, what do you have for us this evening, sir?
Well, as I mentioned earlier in the news, I'm going with Waze, because although it's now been bought by Google, it is really good. And if you're doing a lot of driving and you're in a populated area, it's totally free, and it really does get you around the traffic. And all you do is you just log in. I think you set up a quick account. It's been so long ago since I did it. And you can start seeing where all the traffic is around. You can report it. You can report if there's a cop doing a speed trap nearby. I wish I'd had one of them the other day, because the blighter got me doing the 34 and a 30 zone. Darn him. Anyway, but no, it's really good for sharing the traffic situations around you, and just for general navigation. It really does seem to know the routes. And what it does as well is it looks for other people who have used that route before, and it finds you the fastest one. So even though if you've done a route 100 times and you put it into Waze, and it will show you an alternative route, and you think, oh, no, I know better than this, you should still try it, because it might even save you some time on a route that you think you know by the back of your hand.
All right. Okay. I think I'm going to have to try it again, the off chance that there's more people using it in Scotland now. And actually, I'm going to be able to
do something. I've got up to 5 people now.
Oh, is it?
I don't know, maybe.
Sorry, I thought you'd actually fired it up.
I'll go on it as well, and it could just be the two of us, and we can put in loads of crappy information and see if we make people crash hilariously.
Oh dear, we're not.
Oh, you can be friends on it. You can be friends on it as well. If you're planning to meet up somewhere, you can say you're there, and it'll show you where. I think it shows you where the other people are in relation to you as well.
I wouldn't want to be seen to associate with Paul. I think the feeling's probably mutual.
Yeah, we might not have randomly bumped into each other in the park on Sunday if we'd had Waze. Roddy, what is your pick this evening, sir?
I know we've not done a show for a little bit, and you'd expect that somebody in a position of podcasting authority on the iOS show would be downloading things left, right and centre. I've not actually bought a single app in about 3 weeks. So I have got a little bit slim pickings. I've put two in, but I'm only going to review one, which is Diet Coda. And I know I've talked about Diet Coda before when it came out, but the difference between my review then and my review now is that at the time I used Diet Coda as a companion app to Coda on Mac OS X, which is a great development tool for web design. So you can create web pages in HTML and PHP and things like that. It's very good. Diet Coda can just work on the iPad as a preview of the site that you're putting together. So you can get a live preview of what you're actually doing beside your computer on your iPad. This is a good thing. So that's what I used it for at the time. But I was computerless last week, I think it was, and had to do a bit of work. In fact, I was putting together a couple of sites from scratch. Now, Diet Coda is, as the name suggests, really, really cut down from the full Coda app. But I actually managed to put together a couple of sites, did all the CSS for them. It's really got really nice previews, file browsing. It's remarkably capable, even if you're using it on its own to put together a site. So it's £13.99, which, when you consider what it can do, is really quite cool. It's iPad only, so you can't use it on your phone. Really highly recommended if you do any website work, and even just for existing websites and doing maintenance on them, just making a couple of changes. Very good.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, and that's iPad only, is it? Was it iPhone?
iPad only, yeah.
iPad only. Okay, cool. My picks are actually apps that have been out for a while, and they're a little bit dull, but I just discovered a new feature on them. So I fly down to London quite regularly, and I generally use EasyJet or British Airways, and I have recently discovered that both of their iPhone apps include passbook support. So basically you check in, so you buy your tickets, you check in, and then push the little button to download your pass, your boarding pass, and it actually adds it into passbook. And then it's a feature I did not know existed in Passbook, but basically, I think it must be about 3 hours before your flight, it basically appears on your lock screen. And if you swipe across it, it then shows your boarding pass. So no more unlocking your phone and trying to find the scan or the PDF or whatever you've done of your boarding pass. It's actually right there in Passbook. And it stays there for a good hour after your flight as well. And then 2-3 hours before your next one, it appears. It could just be scanned at the gate. It's absolutely superb. I was really, really shocked. I have to admit, I'd never really used Passbook up to that point. And I was blown away with how convenient it is, and I think other airlines do it. I think like some of the American ones do as well. But certainly for quick and easiness, EasyJet and the British Airways apps, which are both free, but obviously you have to buy air travel tickets, with passbook support. Really impressed. So,
The
carry on.
I'm stuck on mute. Sorry. That was some professionalism there. I was just thinking it sucks a bit that it turns up on your lock screen hours before, because what if you're being interviewed by a detective for like a crime you'd done that was really bad and that popped up and it was like EasyJet flight to a non-extradition treaty country. They went, are you planning to leave the country, Mr. Wheatley? You go, no. Oh, no, wait, I am. It's a fair cop. I'll do the time.
Actually, what it is all it pops up is an icon with the word EasyJet beside it, and you actually swipe on it, and then it shows your passbook. So it doesn't actually show your boarding pass by default.
Well, maybe you've got away with it this time.
But I was really impressed with that.
You're fairly easily impressed, though, to be fair.
Yes, I am. But anyway, moving on. That's basically all we have to talk about tonight. So all that's left for me to do is to thank our amazing panel and just find out where best to contact them. So, Roberto, where is the best place for people to get a hold of your awesomeness?
You can just hop over to streetmachine.com, but if you want to talk to me, you can find me on app.net mostly nowadays, but Twitter, usual places, at Street Machine, you know the drill.
Good, good. Carl, where's the best place to get hold of you?
You can hold me on Twitter at Claw0101 or on Google+, just under Carl Madden. Also in our communities as well, actually.
Yes, yes. And the media show, of course, as well.
And the media show, yes.
And the Mac show and the Big Show.
The Big Show and the Mac show and the Here and There show. And
the Here and There show, of course, yes, as well. Roddy, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter and app.net and probably other stuff as well. Game Center, and just about any blooming account you can have. I'm RODTI, although I just hasten to add that some of these you might not want to add me on. I do know a lot of people seem to follow me on Twitter immediately after these podcasts go live, and they unfollow me quite quickly after they realise what a loudmouth, sweary idiot I am. So, caveat emptor, really.
You can find me, I'm at Paul Wheatley on Twitter. I'm also at Paul Wheatley on app.net, but I never ever go in there, so I'm probably a waste of time. You can find me on The Gamer Show on this network. We have our E3 special on Sunday, where we'll be talking about all the goodness that's happened in the world of video gaming this week at the E3 conference, so it'd be great if you could listen to that. And that's basically it. If you want to contact the network or send in anything for Trouble Gusset, please do so at britishtechnews@gmail.com or tweet any of us if you have any Trouble Gusset questions. Thank you very much for listening, and yes, good luck for the upcoming fortnight, whatever you may be doing, and good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.